Men Meeting the Challenge and the electives that we're going through is part of our conference this year. David Robertson is presenting for us now. He's from City Bible Forum and Third Space. And he's encouraging us to, as we think about identity, sex and gender. Let me lead us in prayer. Our Father God, as men created in your image, please help us to think your thoughts after you. Help us to think rightly about our place, our role in the world and in relationship, both with other men and women in this society. And we pray that David might teach us well in this space and we might learn attentively. And we pray that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Thanks, David.
No, nice to be here. Okay. Well, it is nice to be with you. I hate looking at a camera because I prefer to see people's reactions. I speak English, so my accent shouldn't be any worry for you guys. What we're going to look at is something that is just hugely important, and it sounds so daft. So if I was to say to you, what's a man? How would you say that? Well, here's a really interesting thing. A number of politicians have recently been asked, can you define what a woman is? And they've not been able to. And that's because of the whole transgender issue. We think about male sport and female sport. And it seems our society is changing very, very rapidly, so much so that my parents, who are in their 80s and still alive, really, really struggle with this issue. Now, they struggle with understanding where we're at in terms of society. You know, we're in a world where, according to Australian rugby, if you were Jonah Lomo, you could self-identify as a woman and just go charging through women's rugby. It's really quite extraordinary. So, but we're not just going to talk about transgender. We're just talking about, because that's part of a much, much bigger picture. And this is not some kind of esoteric debate. This really is something that all of us have to have some kind of a grasp on. And I'm going to suggest some resources. I'm also acutely aware that there's very limited time to cover such a big subject. So forgive me if I go through this fairly rapidly. I will try not to speak too quickly as well. Now, when we think about what is humanity, let's begin with the Bible. Begin with Psalm 8. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens. Through the praise of children and infants, you've established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? Using man here in the generic sense of male and female. It's a title of an essay by Martin Luther King, What is Man? And that essay was actually rather brilliant. It argued that humanity is more than an animal and less than God. That's the basic understanding of humanity, which has prevailed in Europe and the West for most of the past 2,000 years. And in my view, it's a view of humanity that is currently being deconstructed and destroyed. And here's the important issue, and this is why this matters for you and for your friends. When we cease to believe in God, it's not just that we lose the sense of the divine, but we will also cease to believe in humanity. We destroy humanity. What is a human being? You'll forgive me for this, but I'm a Presbyterian and I know the Shorter Catechism, and question 10 says this: how did God create man? God created man male and female after his own image, in knowledge, righteousness, and holiness, with dominion over the creatures. That involves four things. Firstly, gender. We are created male and female, and that's why the removal of gender from our culture is so important. It is part of the devil's attempt to destroy the apex of God's creation, humanity. When you start saying there's 99 genders, or 199, or 1,000,001 genders, then you are in enormous trouble as a culture. Deals with gender. Secondly, it deals with identity. What is our identity? Is my identity as a Scot? Is my identity as a male, as a man? Is my identity found in sexuality? Is my identity found in where I live just now? So I live on the North Shore, and people say, oh, well, you're a North Shore boy. I don't quite think I've reached that height or depths, depending on your perspective. So where do we get our identity from? Is my identity from my work? You know, who are you? What's your name and what do you do? Well, ultimately, our identity is found in God. And that is fundamental to understanding humanity. Gender identity, marriage. We are created for one another. Now, some people will be single, but we are created as social beings. And the fourth thing is society. We serve God and we serve one another by following the Maker's instructions. Now, in the biblical narrative, something goes wrong. The fall means that all these things, gender identity, marriage, and society, are all disrupted. Autonomy, we then say, instead of depending upon God, we're going to do it our way. The number one song still for funerals played at crematorium in the United Kingdom, I don't know what it is here, is Frank Sinatra's My Way. And now the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, I've traveled each and every highway, but more, much more than this, I did it my way. That is the epitome of sin. We're just going to do it our own way. I think one of the, if you want to know what's happening in our society, go and look at Romans chapter 1, and that is the ultimate punishment that God gives. He just says, okay, have it your way. Do it your way and see how you get on. Now let's think of that in certain key areas, certain key issues. So the one of sexuality. Smirnoff had an advert in the year 2015, heterosexual, sexual, who gives a sexuality? In answer to the age-old question, who am I, our children today are being taught that sexuality is a key part, if not the key part, of our identity. Media, schools, and especially the big corporations are pushing this as a given. And yet, this may surprise you, the notion of sexuality as an identity is a fairly new one. Late 19th century, early 20th century, largely associated from the work of Freud. So you end up with Lady Gaga. I'm sure most of you will have enormous taste and therefore won't listen to Lady Gaga, but she has a song called Born This Way. And initially, what argues people says, well, look, I'm born that way. That's just the way I am. I am who I am. But that betrays a shallow understanding of what humanity is, who God is, and how the fall has affected us. And in fact, that's also an outdated view in contemporary society, because our society is so confused and it's changing so quickly. Now, there are more and more people, such as Peter Tatchell, the Australian gay rights activist, who are arguing that sexuality is fluid, that we're on a spectrum. The Daily Telegraph was a conservative newspaper in the United Kingdom, had a survey that said there wasn't a single woman in the whole of the United Kingdom who was 100% heterosexual. My wife was somewhat amused at that. But that's the kind of idea, is that you can, you know, your sexuality can be fluid. That's why latest statistics suggest around 1% of young people will claim to be homosexual, but 2% will claim to be bisexual. Now, I think Tatchell, and I have an extensive quote from him, but it's too long to read out here. I think Tatchell is basically correct. He says that the Catholic Church, he argues the medieval Catholic Church was at least right in this, in that regarded sexuality as being fluid. In other words, something that you did, not something that you were. Now, some people are going to say, look, does it matter? Does it matter how people identify? Does it matter that it's so important? Well, I think it does, because I think it's undermining and harming human beings. And you know, I've spent a lot of time as a pastor counseling people who are struggling. 25 years ago, I had a transgender person in my congregation. That was very interesting, in a very conservative Highland church in the north of Scotland. I've been dealing with people who struggle with homosexual temptations and tendencies. I've seen people change in different ways, in different directions. What is the harm that matters? Now, I think, without going into all of the details of this case, I think there is more than enough evidence that shows that when we move away from God's instructions, from the Maker's instructions, we end up destroying things. Let me put it this way. I drive a petrol car, and if I think, you know this, I think diesel's a much better fuel. I'm just going to put diesel into the engine. Well, what's going to happen to me? Well, when human beings say to God, we don't like your laws. We don't like your view of marriage. We're just going to make our own. Since God made us, do you not think it's better that we follow the Maker's instructions? The way I would illustrate that and talk about that is I'm, as my wife will tell you, I'm not very practical. I'm sure most of you watching this are incredibly practical, but I am like zero practical. So if we go and get some furniture from IKEA, I'm the guy, some of you will be guys who would never go to IKEA because you can chop the tree down and, you know, carve the wood and make the stuff yourself. But I go to IKEA and I unpack the box, and I'm the guy who first of all puts out the instructions, then counts all the screws. They said there was 42. Okay, there's only 41. I'm not making this. And I follow it to the letter. And even then, I sometimes get it wrong. And then there's a way in which I call myself an IKEA Christian, because I'm thinking, I haven't a clue how humanity works. I'm just going to go with what God says. Now, I don't think God gives us detailed instructions in this in the Bible, but I do think he gives us basic principles, and I want to try and stick by them. Let's talk about the issue of gender just a minute. Can you imagine a child being born? I don't know, those of you who are married, maybe you're at the birth of your child, and you didn't know if the baby was going to be a boy or a girl, and then the midwife or the doctor holds up baby and says, we haven't decided that quite yet. We're going to assign them a gender later on once we look at the figures in the hospital. No, they go, it's a boy, it's a girl. Not anymore. Your gender, you know, according to our cultural elites, is something that was assigned to you at birth, not something that you are. It's bizarre. As I said, my parents struggle with this, and they're right. I struggle with it. We no more get to choose our identity in terms of gender than we do in terms of skin color or height. In today's world, do you know this? I could self-identify as a 21-year-old Brad Pitt lookalike. Actually, I could self-identify as a 17-year-old Chinese woman. That's what I feel like. Therefore, that's what I am. Of course, it's nonsense. Now, the danger here, and this is where I find myself bizarrely in this very strange world. If I thought I would say this 20 years ago, that Germaine Greer and I are allies, because I find myself in this bizarre, strange world where radical feminists and biblical Christians are united on this issue, because the radical feminists are saying, you're going to get rid of women. And that's exactly what's happened. In fact, some organizations are now saying, don't use the word women. You have to spell it W-O-M-Y-N. It's just removed. It kills off women's sports. When I do a podcast called Quantum of the We Flee, and when I did this a podcast on this issue 5 years ago, I suggested that Andy Murray, he'd won Wimbledon. I thought, he's not going to win Wimbledon again because I'm Scottish. I don't expect my team to win. I'm just shocked he won the first time. And I suggested that Andy Murray could change his name to Andrina and he would win women's Wimbledon easily. And because of equality, he would get exactly the same money. Why not go for it? And I got so much abuse saying that will never happen until somebody sent me a photo of the Iranian women's football team. Now, I couldn't believe it. 8 of them had beards. I said, how's that the Iranian women's football team? And they said, because, guess, you know, this is the crazy world we live in. this is true. Honestly, I am not making this stuff up. You think, come on, you're kidding us. You know, but no, this is because in Iran, being homosexual, death penalty. But if you're a man and you say that you like other men, well, it must be because you're really a woman. And so for a while, I don't know if it's still the case, but at that point, a few years ago, Iran was the number one nation in the world for transgender operations. You talk about destroying women's sport. Now, I can tell you this. I have had numerous letters from people because I've covered this issue on my podcast and writing for some time. And I've had, you know, mothers writing me saying to me, it's so unfair. I remember one woman saying, my daughter's trained at football for 4 years, and she goes to a camp, a Premier League boys football camp, or girls football camp, rather, and she comes back and she's really upset because there was a boy who said that he was a girl who won all the prizes. And she says, it's just not fair. Well, that is what is happening. I think of the New Zealand transgender female weightlifter who's now winning in all the female categories. I also wonder what happens with government quotas. You know, when they say 50% of your board has to be female. In Scotland, what I'd be able to do now is just go in and say, by the way, I am a woman. Did you know, this is how crazy it is. There was a man appointed as the women's officer in a local Labour party because he said, on Wednesdays, I'm a woman. The rest of the week, I'm a man. And he got appointed as the women's officer. Okay, you really want to go there. So I think this whole transgender stuff, it's a huge, huge issue. Also the multigender and using the pronouns. I have a list of, I think it's 27 different pronouns. Let me just read you some of them. E-A-M, ear, ers, he, him, his, her, pers, she, her, his, so, you know. When I tell you this, whenever you see someone saying, my name is X and my pronouns are, I would just avoid them. But I got in a debate once with somebody who was sadly in charge of education for my city, and he was furious with me. And I said something like, he says this, and he tweeted straight away, it's not he. I said, okay, she says this, it's not she. Okay, this is going to be interesting. Is it Z, Zer? What do you want me to call you? And he said, you know, you have to identify me by my pronouns. And I said, okay, fair enough. I want you to identify me by mine. And I said, these are mine. I take my identity as a Christian. So basically, I'm known as beloved in Christ. So every time you refer to me, you have to say beloved in Christ on Twitter. I said, and if that doesn't work, just call me beloved. I don't mind. I never heard from him again. And then he got fired, which was just wonderful. Let me read you something from the American College of Pediatricians. Conditioning children into believing a lifetime of chemical and surgical impersonation of the opposite sex is normal and healthful is child abuse. It is. It is child abuse. And what is occurring in our society at the moment is child abuse. And you need to protect your children and indeed other people's children. Now, there's a huge cost in this. I think there's a cost in terms of our political system. Dare a politician stand up and say this is nonsense. I think there's a cost in terms of our legal system. I think in the media and in general culture, the book that's been touted everywhere just now in Australia is a book about a transgender. Transgender is 0.001%. I happen to believe that there is such a thing as transgender. I really do. And as I say, in both churches I was in before, we had people who were faced with that issue. But it is a disorder. It is a psychological disorder, and it's a strange one. Because if I'm a teenage girl, and it's now teenage girls mostly who are being affected by this, if I as a teenage girl say, do you know this, I only weigh, you know, 7 stone, but I think I'm way too fat, and I've got anorexia, and I've seen that, and I've seen people die from that, it's a horrendous illness. Nobody goes, you're quite right, you believe you're too fat, you're way too fat. No, they try and help and treat her mind. She needs a lot of help. But when a teenage girl says, well, I actually think I'm a boy. They say, well, that's fine, you're a boy, so we'll mutilate your body in order to help you. They treat the body rather than treat the mind. I once had a doctor phone me up and say, David, all you've been saying, I accept is true, but he said, I specialize in these kind of operations and they have 80% negative outcomes. And I said, can I use that statistic? He said, you can, but you can never cite my name because I would lose my job. That's the society we're living. Where are we going? Let me sum this up and just give one Christian perspective in that. If we take humanity away, the idea of humanity being made in the image of God, we then try to re-image humanity according to our own imaginations. And we go down this road. I think it's a road to hell. I think we will end up with pedophilia being acceptable. I think we'll end up with rationality, logic, and truth being removed. And already that is happening. I think we will end up with family, church, and society being replaced by individuality, corporation, and disintegration. I think that love, peace, and goodness will be replaced by hatred, strife, and immorality. How do we react then if that's a bigger picture? And there are lots of other issues involved in that as well. And please do not misunderstand me. Transgender people, People who are homosexual, people, we're all human beings. That's the Christian teaching. We are all made in the image of God. And all of us suffer from some kind of disorder and problem, and all of us need salvation. And if you, for example, were watching this and you were homosexual and you're saying, well, is this not just gay bashing? No, not at all. You know, homosexual sin, I don't look at it and go, oh, you're far worse than hetero. We're all sinners. Nobody gets to heaven because they're heterosexual. We only get to heaven because we have faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So, for Christians, how do we react? Fear, we could react with fear. There's no need for us to be afraid. Failure, we can just give in on the whole issue, and we shouldn't do that. We could fight back. I don't think we're going to turn the tide. I think what we do is we live an alternative life which lives by faith, which recognizes and focuses on the importance of the family, that we deal with what I would call the small stories, the individual stories, the what I would call the middle stories, the cultural trends, and ultimately the big story of the gospel. And I finish it with this, and it is such a cliche, but I got in trouble in a school here in Sydney because I mocked the phrase, love is love. And I said, well, what does that mean? That just means nothing. Love is love. And one teacher was particularly upset at me saying that because they thought I was having a go at a particular group. And I said, no, I happen to believe that all you need is love. I happen to believe that love is the answer. But I'm not letting you take our word, and I'm not letting you take the meaning of love and turn it into something meaningless. There's so much ugliness and brokenness in this world. Can the ugly be redeemed, be made beautiful? Yes, there is the ultimate makeover, but that involves us coming to know God and coming to know the love of Christ. I leave you with a quote from St. Augustine many years ago. He said this, behold, he says, hatred shows itself winningly gentle. That's quite contradictory, isn't it? But that's often the case. People will present a case that's actually hatred, but it's presented as gentle. And charity quarrels. Stay not thy regard upon the words of seeming kindness or the seeming cruelty of the book, he says. Look where they come from. Ask the root where they proceed. One is gentle and bland that he may deceive. The other quarrels that he may correct. Well, then, it is not for us, brothers, to enlarge your heart. Obtain from God the gift to love one another. Ask God to open your heart. Love all men, even your enemies, not because they are your brothers, but that they may be your brothers, that you may be at all times on fire with brotherly love, whether towards him that has become thy brother or towards your enemy, so that by being beloved, he may become your brother. We defeat these trends within our culture by living for Christ, by loving like Christ, and by loving those who, yes, they are our enemies. I said that was my last word, and I'm sure the camera people are going crazy, but let me just give you one example of how that works. I was on a social media site, a secular society site, and the chairman of that site, he wrote the most vitriolic and bitter things against me. And then one day he wrote me privately and said, David, I'm writing to apologize. He said, because for many years I've slagged you off, I've been said ridiculous things. And he said, I'm still an atheist, but I've come to see your understanding of the world is largely right, although I'm not a Christian. And he said, I'd like to apologize. And he said, I'm going to be leaving this society. And he said, but the reason I'm coming to you is because when my nephew committed suicide, you were the only person who contacted me privately and told me that you were thinking of me. He said, you even said you were praying for me. And do you know this? If there was a man who was a more bitter enemy that I have, I can't think of them. And just, we are now friends, and I'm praying he comes to know the Lord. That's what we should be seeking for. Don't be so absorbed by these cultural issues that you forget it's about humanity, because that's actually the main thing. It's about humanity, and it's about the Christ who came to save the world. God bless you, and if you've got any questions, feel free to get in touch with me and ask, and hopefully I'll bump into you sometime in Sydney. But God bless you all, and enjoy the rest of the conference.